I want to speak to you this morning about life transformation that Pat said is really the heartbeat of so much of what she does, is seeing this transformation and how important it is. But before we get into that together, let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father, I thank you that you are the kind of God who is not content to leave us in our sin, but that you are a God who not only forgives our sins, but then helps us to live in freedom from our sins, that we can be conformed to the image of your Son. And so, Lord, may even today, as we sit under the preaching of your word, as we get excited about the kind of changes that are possible, that it would be a first step for some, or it would be a renewed step of transformation that happens even this morning. Lord, we know that's the power that you have by your Holy Spirit. So, Lord, this morning, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. It's been several years now since I first saw this show, but there was a show called Extreme Makeover. I don't know if some of you have heard this. Not the home edition, probably you've seen that where they go in and do somebody's house, but this was an extreme makeover of people. And they would take what I will graciously call below average looking people. You define however you want, people who could use a makeover, and they would do extreme makeovers. You know, a normal makeover is you get your hair done and you maybe buy a new outfit. They would do surgeries on some of these people. They'd reconstruct their teeth and faces and liposuction and the whole thing. And then, of course, they would have stylists come in and show them how to do their hair. And they, oh, well, with that kind of face, you need this kind of look. And, well, this body type, then here, these are the kinds of clothes that are going to help you to look your best. And so you would take a person who, like I said, maybe below average looking, and then by the end of the show, the transformation was miraculous. In a sense, I mean, it was not miraculous because you could see the steps that happened and you know how it happened, but it blew your mind. And really, I only probably watched it four or five times, but it was like watching, you know, a car accident. You couldn't take your eyes off of it, even though I probably shouldn't be wasting my time looking at this, but I can't help watching this makeover because there's something powerful about a transformation. And see, there is a connection between extreme makeover and Christianity. And becoming a Christian. And this is going to sound probably simplistic, and it is simple, but it needs to be said, and it needs to be said often, that your life should look and feel different after you've become a Christian. Transformation is a part of being a Christian, and so there should be a change. There should be something that is different about you because now you belong to Jesus Christ. If you imagine with me transformation in your life or holiness in your life is sort of this linear scale here. And I've got a picture in your handout. I've got a picture overhead. This line of transformation in which when God finds us, we're here in the world and the ways of the world characterize our lives. And he's drawing us toward holiness. And so there's this progress that should be definable and we should see a difference in our lives. Now, we all start in different places, of course. That's why I've got, you know, different people on here at different places. And some people, they are deep in the world. And the ways of sin have just tangible, ugly things in their lives. And so the transformation is going to look a little bit different for somebody coming from that place. And then I think of others like my parents. You know, they were saved in their early 20s, but they were good people. They weren't partiers, they weren't addicts or anything. They kind of lived, for the most part, you know, the straight and narrow life. And yet still, that doesn't mean God says, well, good, I'm just going to add the blessing of heaven and you're done. There's transformation that God wants to do in everybody. I became a Christian at 5, but that doesn't mean, I wasn't a heroin addict, you know, at 5 years old. And now it's not about how dramatic. There's this expectation that if we are in Christ, there will be progress toward holiness and that we will see change happen in our lives. And so this morning, what I want to do is, the reason I'm even bringing this up is because this is part of a bigger series about the vision of our church. We've been talking about the kind of church we believe God has called us to be. And last week we said that we believe the church that we see is a church that's baptizing many new believers. But what we don't want to have happen is to say, look, we got this long list of people who gave their life to Christ, who were saved, and we got them baptized, and now we don't know where they are, Or, yeah, they're kind of still just stuck in those same ruts. And, yeah, the same sins that had ensnared them before, that's where they're at. We don't believe that salvation just takes us and leaves us right where we're at. So the church that we see is a church that is experiencing the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. So that's the second part of our vision, is that we want to be a church that's getting people saved, that's seeing baptisms in large numbers, but then the people who are receiving Christ, and those of us who have already known Christ, are seeing the power of Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit changing and transforming our lives. So today, it's not so much of a practical, how do you do that? That's something that we need to continue as a church to wrestle with. How do we do it one-on-one? How do we arrange ministries that help this happen? But today, what I want to do is answer two basic questions about life transformation. First of all, why should we expect transformation? You know, I can say that, but why? Why should I expect that a Christian is going to change? And then secondly, why is it so important that a Christian change, that there be transformation in our lives when we belong to Jesus Christ? Those are the questions I want to look at. I've got four answers for each of them. There's probably more that could be said, but this is where I sort of narrowed it down to four important things about why we should expect it and why it's so important. When we look at that first question, why transformation should be expected, the first answer is the most significant one. I'm going to spend the most time on it. It's sort of the foundation for everything else. It's crucial. It's simple, but it's crucial. Why should we expect transformation? Because Christ lives in you by His Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ indwells all Christians by the power of His Holy Spirit. And this isn't my idea, this is Paul, and most of the points this morning are from Galatians, different places. I'm not preaching through Galatians 5 necessarily, I've just taken that as an anchor text to see the distinction between before and after that we should have in Christ. But most of these points come from the book of Galatians. And so in Galatians 2, verse 20, we have Paul saying it this way. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Paul is saying, Jesus Christ now indwells me. And this isn't just in the sense like, well, as long as we remember Jesus, we keep His Spirit alive. We speak that way sometimes at funerals, and I understand that, and there's a truth in this. Like if somebody near to us has passed away, in a sense we say, well, we kind of keep their spirit alive by remembering them and living maybe a certain way. That's not exactly what Paul has in mind. It's not just keeping the Spirit of Jesus alive in our memory. He's saying, literally, the presence of God indwells believers, such that we have a connection, a relationship with God through His Spirit that is in our very souls and in our hearts. And so another way that he says it, and I think he makes it maybe even more clear, is in chapter 4, verse 6, he says, okay, when you accepted Jesus, you became part of the family. You're part of God's family. And being part of God's family means that He has put the Spirit of His Son inside of you. And so that's what he says in verse 6 of chapter 4. Because you are sons and daughters, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Daddy, or Abba, Father. The very presence of God indwells believers. And so, of course, we should expect to be different. If we now have the Creator of the universe living in and with us, we should expect that life looks a little bit different. It is a lie that says that all of us have a spark of divinity in us or something like that, and we just need to get in touch with it. No. Before we know Jesus Christ, God does not dwell in our hearts. But when we give our life to Him in faith, and He forgives us of our sins and gives us salvation, He also, according to Paul and according to Jesus, pours out the Spirit of Jesus into our hearts. We are different. We should expect transformation because the God of transformation, the creative God who created the universe, who made us, lives now and dwells within us. So that's the most important thing. Why should we expect transformation? Because God is in you now. You can't be the same. You can't be in God's presence and have Him dwell in your life and just be the same person you've always been. We must expect change. And now, much like it, the second point is very similar, but a slightly different twist or understanding on it. The second reason is because spiritually speaking, you are a new creation. When God saved you, He made you new. And so Paul says it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. He says, if any man or woman is in Christ, behold, he or she is a new creation. And the old is gone, behold, all things are made new. Did you know that's why we use terms like born again? Because there is a newness to your life, because God has made you into a new person. And so just the very nature of calling yourself somebody new means there needs to be an expectation of change. You can't stay the same old person if you have been made a new person by God. And so it's natural to expect, to look for, to count on transformation happening in our lives. The third reason, and those two really in a sense go together. The third reason I think so does as well, but this is more of an idea, something that God has in mind for you. The third reason that we should expect change is because God desires for you to look more like Him. God wants you to look more like Jesus Christ. More love, more faith, more gentleness, more compassion. He expects these things. He's planned on it. And so I just say, why should we expect it? Because if God makes a plan, it's probably going to happen. Not probably, that's sarcasm in a sense. It is going to happen. It's going to happen. And so we should expect change because that's what God plans for us. That's what He's created us to be. He's created us to be made in the image of God. And so that's why Paul in Galatians 4:19 talks about this idea of Christ being formed in us. And Paul talking about his relationship with the church, how he works hard that they might experience this. In verse 19 of chapter 4, he says, my little children, for whom I am again in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. The plan, the purpose of God in saving us is that He might help us to be conformed to the image of Christ, that we might look more and more like Jesus Christ and reflect Him in who we are as people. So we should expect change. If this is God's plan, if he's indwelled us, if He's made us a new person, and then He's got a plan and purpose for us to be changed, then let's expect it. Let's look for it. And then the fourth reason why we should expect change is because your new nature shouldn't be content with the sin that still lives in you. There should be a restlessness about you. Some people actually, in some ways, have expressed a little bit of lament over this when they're newer Christians, because they'll say things like, you know, it didn't used to bother me when I would go hang out with my friends and we'd go do X, Y, or Z. Now I don't feel good about it anymore. Like, maybe I shouldn't be doing this. And they go, yeah, exactly. Right. That sense of, like, I don't fit here anymore. I don't belong doing these kinds of things or being this kind of person anymore, is because you're not that person anymore. And so you're now out of your element. You shouldn't be a part of that. And so there should be this natural sense in you, and it grows, and your sensitivity to it grows over time, but there should be this natural, that doesn't feel right anymore. I know now. Maybe before there was an ignorance, and so you lived there pretty comfortably, and you didn't see anything wrong with it, but now you're in Christ, and you can't go back there without it feeling weird and wrong. So you should expect then, well, then I've got to step out of that. So we should be expecting change in our lives. Now hear me carefully. I'm not talking about instantaneous. I'm not saying that the moment that you knelt in front of your bed and gave your life to Jesus Christ, or the moment you came and prayed with the pastor up front and gave your life to Christ, that suddenly everything's different in your life and your lifestyle, and you never have any of those habits, hurts, or hang-ups anymore. I'm not saying instantaneous. It's not perfection overnight. It's progress over a lifetime. We should see change over time. With that linear thing, it's much like our children. Sometimes we don't realize the change that's happening in the lives of our kids. We just don't see it because we see them every day, and so their face takes a new shape over time. But then when you have something like we did with my parents come, and they haven't seen the kids in a long time, they're like, wow, look how much older they look and how much more mature in their face and things like that. But we didn't see it as much because we're close to it. Sometimes it's going to be slow progress like that. But you should be able to look back on your life and go, I'm not where I was before. And I'm not that same person that I was before. And maybe I can't pinpoint the day that I stopped doing X or the day that I started incorporating into my life these positive godly traits. I don't remember how it happened, but I'm different. I'm changed. So it's not perfection overnight. It's progress over a lifetime. And it's not a measurement against another person. It's not a measurement like, oh, so, my goal is to be like Pastor Stephen. I mean, at some level, I hope and I pray that I can be a small reflection the way that Paul said, imitate me because I imitate Christ. But if you're aiming to be like me, you're aiming too low. So, and it's not a measurement, a benchmark against me. And as Pat reminded us, we're all going to look different because God's made us different. And so some of us are going to have a passion in this direction or that direction. So just mimicking somebody isn't what you're looking for. But conformity to who God wants you to be and who he has made you to be and who in his scriptures he has told you to be. This should be something we see tangible change. The other thing is to realize that it's not going to be all just smooth sailing up, you know, up, 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 up. Think of it more like a stock chart. If you've ever seen these graphs that show the growth of a stock over time, it'll go up, oh, but then it'll take a fall. Oh, it'll go up, up, and it goes farther that time, but then it comes down and up. But what you see is a trend in that direction. So we're all gonna fall back at times. And the grace of God is such that he doesn't leave us there because he's already forgiven us, and so he picks us back up. But what we need to see is that progress moving forward. We should expect that. Now, why is it so important? Why is this transformation in our lives so important? Again, like in the other question, the first answer is the most significant one. It's the one I really want you to grasp and know that it's at the root of everything else. But the reason transformation is so important is because God wants us to live in the joy and freedom of the Spirit. He wants us to experience an abundant life where we have joy, where we have happiness, where we have experienced love, where we have relationships that are healthy and strong. And then he wants that for us here in this life, and he also wants that for us in eternity. He's made us for it. That's why Paul can say something like Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, when he says, for freedom, Christ has set you free. Because we are slaves naturally to sin. And slavery is not a place that God designed us for. Slavery is the result of sin in our lives. It is not God's design for our lives. He wants us to walk in freedom. He's paid the price for the prison doors to be open, and he wants us to live in that joy and to know that freedom and to know that satisfaction that comes. And so it's important that we see life transformation so that we can experience what God plans for us. He wants us to know joy. It's a misconception, I think, that some Christians have, and definitely a lot of non-Christians, that somehow God doesn't want you to laugh too much, don't have too much fun, right? I mean, they became a holy roller, they're born again now, they don't have any fun anymore. The misconception there is that somehow the real joy lies in these worldly activities, and somehow it's boring and dour and no fun over here in a spiritual world following God and trying to be godly. But you know what? That's just a lie. The reality is, and this is my own experience, affirms what I believe the Bible teaches about this. The things that bring heartache into my life, the things that bring dissatisfaction, they all relate to sin. Never once have I said, I am so dissatisfied that I'm living godly right now. You know, it's such a bummer to be in fellowship with the creator of God of the universe. No, the things that hurt are broken relationships that happen when there's things like anger and envy and strife. That's where pain is. And God doesn't want us to live there. He wants us to be free of those things. That's why when he lists all of these these attributes of living in the flesh in Galatians chapter 5, these are things that destroy your life. These are the kinds of things, this idolatry and enmity and sensuality, meaning in the worst kinds of ways of giving in to whatever urges you have and fits of anger and dissensions and drunkenness and orgies. He says these are the things that bring you dissatisfaction because they go against who God has created you and designed you to be. So the most important reason for life transformation is because God wants you to walk in joy and freedom, not being enslaved to sin any longer. And he wants you to begin to experience that right here and now. We know that ultimately that freedom doesn't come until Christ returns and he restores all things and he banishes sin forever. But he says you can begin to taste that and live in that now. You can begin to step out of the prison cell and live in freedom. There is a flip side to this. So that's the positive way of saying it. That's the most significant reason I believe that God wants to see transformation in your life. But there is also the warning side. Why is it important to see transformation? Because to evidence no change is a major warning sign that your faith is not genuine. If you've been at this for a while and you look exactly the same as you did before, then maybe just giving some lip service to saying, okay, I want Jesus in my life, didn't come from a place of a heart that truly surrendered and didn't come from a place that really said, I trust you to forgive my sins and to give me eternal life. If there is no change, it's the barometer we have. Now, I'm not your judge. I'm not the one who's going to come and say, well, see, I don't see the change. God might know what the change is. But if you look in your own heart and you see no change and you see yourself stuck in the same place as you were over and over and over again and there's never a change, take that as a warning. Paul gives that as a warning. He says in chapter 6, verse 7, he says, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And I think one of the main things he's trying to say here is, look, if you're still stuck in this place of just sowing into sin in your life, be careful. Be warned. In fact, he says it in chapter 5 very clearly. And so I probably could have just made this next point part of this first one, but I separated out this, the third reason why transformation is so important is because there are serious consequences to staying in your sin. And so Paul in Galatians chapter 5, after listing all of these things that relate to the worldliness and being still in the flesh, he says all of these things, he says, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And what he's saying is you will not be a part of the new world that God is creating, that he is doing, and you instead be cast out of his presence because you insist on staying in this old flesh. There are serious and real consequences that are eternal. And so change is important. It's the cart and the horse. Please don't hear me saying that you have to do all these good things and then maybe God will be nice enough to let you into his kingdom. But he's saying if the transformation, if the faith was real at the beginning, you will see transformation. And if you don't, be warned. And be warned in a way that brings you to repentance. Not be warned in a way that makes you callous and say, well, then forget it. Be warned in a way that says, I don't want to stay there. I really need your help to change. I need the salvation you offer. And then you can experience the beginnings of walking in that joy and freedom. And then the last reason I put here is because your transformation, why is transformation important? Because your transformation bears witness to the grace and power of God. You become a walking billboard for the power of the Holy Spirit when your life changes. People can see it and you can give glory to God. See, Paul's own life was evidence of this. He was somebody who persecuted the church, who hated Jesus' followers. But when he was transformed by meeting Jesus, the person who got the glory was not Paul, it was God. And so in chapter 1 of Galatians, he tells just a little bit of his story. And he talks about how he was unknown. This is verse 22. He says, I was unknown in person to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only were hearing it said, he who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. See, there is real transformation. There's tangible transformation that happened in his life. And in verse 24 says, and they glorified God because of me. I mean, it just echoes Jesus' own words in the Sermon on the Mount when he said, let your light so shine. Let that life that I have called you to that is now coming out of you, let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Life transformation is so important because that's how people see that God is real, because they've seen the real change that happens in you. That's how they see his grace and his love as it's manifested in how he brings us from the pit of hell and sin that we are stuck in here and delivers us to a place of freedom and life, where the hurts and the habits and the hang-ups that used to define us no longer rule over us and define us. That's the life transformation that God wants. That's the life transformation we want to see happening in this church. I should say that we do see. I just want to see it multiplied. That's all. I don't want to suggest none of it happens. It does, praise God. But we want to see it multiplied. And it was so important to us that this be a part of the church that we are, that we made it one of the five things in our vision statement. The church we see is experiencing the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. So we as individuals and we as a church are called to cooperate in God's transforming work. It's active. It's something that we come alongside and we participate and have a role in as individuals. One of the ways we do that is we look at our lives and we say, God, where are the areas that are not in conformity to you? Show me that I might begin to lay them aside. As Paul likes to talk about it, he says, put to death the deeds of the flesh. Let me just kill that right now. I don't need that in my life anymore. Help me to kill it and put it there and leave it there forever. But we also, as a church, need to help in cooperating. That's why it's part of our vision statement as a whole church. We need to constantly be thinking of ways that we can, as a church, help people in this transformation. That we can help them walk this life now in Christ and be different than who they used to be. So we need to have ministries that help people experience this change. We need to have worship events and services that aren't just rote or routine, but where there's opportunities for the Holy Spirit to provide and begin life transformation. We believe this is the kind of church God has called us to be, because we believe it's at the heart of what it means to be a Christian, is to see our lives transformed and to see us walking in freedom and joy. So the church we see is experiencing the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. That's my prayer. I hope that sparks in you a desire, maybe in your own life, but also don't, not in a judging way, but I'm sure you have brothers and sisters in Christ or family members that you care about, and you want to see them freed from sin that they're stuck in. And so I hope that you're excited about being a part of a church that values that and is striving for that as well, that we really, truly will see and experience the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you. I thank you that you are the kind of God that doesn't leave us in our sins, that at great cost to yourself, you gave your Son to die to forgive us of those sins, but you also have given us your Holy Spirit to transform us, that we may walk in the freedom from those sins and be conformed into the very image of your Son. Lord, let us be the kind of church that is constantly thinking about how we can do that better, how we can do that more, how we can see more people walking in that freedom and joy. Lord, may we be a church that truly is experiencing the life-transforming power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.